Mark chapter 14, verse 32 to 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
It really is my privilege to come and to share God's word today. Week after week, I get the opportunity to share, and others do as well, but it's my privilege to share God's word today in this congregation. And I hope that I'm able to articulate something and share something that will be helpful today. The title of my message today is The Valley of Decision. I'm sure you'll be familiar with moments where you feel like you're in a valley, moments where you feel, I've got a choice to make here. How am I going to respond? How am I going to react to the situation that I'm in? But before I begin to open this up, I want to go back to a time when I was younger, okay? I used to do a lot of hill walking, and I used to say that going up was hard and coming down was hard. I was like, why do I do this? Well, there's something about being up the top that's quite amazing, and it's incredible. And I used to go hill walking with my uncle and his chums from work, from Strathclyde Regional Council. And of course, when you're going uphill and you're behind somebody, you'll know, if you've done any hill walking, that there's a certain part of their anatomy that's near your face, okay? And there was one guy, we used to call him Big Donald, because he was big, and his name was Donald. And you never wanted to be behind Donald going up a hill walk, especially if he'd had beans the night before. Sorry, did I really say that? Yes, I did. And there was one occasion where we went camping up to Glen Orkey, and our goal was to set out the following day to do a ridge called the Annagh Eagach Ridge. I don't know, is anybody familiar with the Annagh Eagach Ridge? Right, okay. So in that photograph, you can see an outcrop of rock that's called the Chancellor. It's part of that ridge, and it's very, very exposed, and you can see all the way down into Glencoe there. It runs along the right-hand side of the road as you're heading towards Fort William. And I have completed the Annagh Eagach Ridge, so where that person is standing, you can see the wee tiny bit of road down in the bottom right-hand corner there. Where that person is standing, I have stood there. And it's very, very exposed, and you get four seasons in one day. But the decision to go there comes when you're in the valley. You don't suddenly find yourself on the mountaintop. The decision comes when you're in the valley, and you think, that looks doable. And then you start to climb, and you realize just how difficult it actually is. And metaphorically, it's like us when we're in the valleys of decision. And valleys are often associated with darkness, they're associated with difficulty. Metaphorically, when we think about those seasons in life where we find ourselves in a difficult place. But with Christ in our lives, we can ask him and draw strength from him. Psalm chapter 84, verse 6 says this: "As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Baca means tears. And there are times when we go through valleys in life, and there are difficult places, there are challenging places. But the psalmist is saying that when we walk through that difficult valley, we make it a place of springs. Who are they? Well, if you read the little bit of scripture before that, it says, those whose strength is in you. Those whose strength is in the Lord, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. The people who are looking to their God will find strength. But we need to be looking to God to find the strength. The people who are on pilgrimage, who are on a journey, who are moving, will find strength. I sometimes think it's so easy, rather than keep going, to actually stop in our faith journey and just begin to stagnate. We're not going anywhere in our faith journey. And as long as we're not going anywhere in our faith journey, how can God really help us? He's saying, what he's saying to us is you need to get up and get some momentum. You need to get up and get going. You need to make some decisions. You're maybe in a valley, but you need to make a decision to get up and out of the valley. And it's those people who have set their heart in pilgrimage who receive strength from God. You don't get strength from God to stay where you are. You get strength to move forward. We all make decisions every day. One psychologist estimated that we make 35,000 decisions a day. Wow. 35,000 a day. But I wonder, do we ever stop to ask God, what's your decision in this situation? What's your will in this situation? The thing that I'm praying to you about, what's your will? We might have our idea of what the right answer is, but do we stop to ask God what his will and his desire and what his decision is in the situation? If we ask him, he'll give us the answer. But we sometimes need to wait for the answer. And it's hard to wait. Who loves waiting? Does anybody like having their patience tested when you're waiting, waiting, waiting? No, we don't like it. But we have to seek God and find the answers in him. Jesus was always making decisions, as were so many others around him. Some were trying to make him make decisions, like his mum, Mary, at the scene of his first miracle. And what was it Jesus said? He said, as she was trying to get them to listen to him, he says, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." My hour is the Greek word, hora, hour, is translated into English. "My time's not yet come." But she was trying to get Jesus to kick into gear and kick into action. Isn't it just like that with mums? They want us to do things before we're ready to do them. And sometimes it can be a challenge. On another occasion, Jesus decided to stay back while others of his family went up for the Feast of Tabernacles. His intent was to keep a low profile. Have you ever noticed how many times Jesus says, "Don't go and tell people what I've just done for you"? We would be the exact opposite. We'd be like, "Let's tell everybody." But Jesus was saying, "No, no, no, keep it quiet." And what did they do? They went and told everybody. So he had no choice. And in John chapter 7, verse 6, it says, "Therefore Jesus told them the right time," and it's a different word that's used. It's the word for kairos, the word kairos, which is Greek for season, an opportune time, a time to do something. His season had not yet come. And this is what he said, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I'm not yet going up to the feast because for me, the right time has not yet come." And having said this, he stayed in Galilee. See, Jesus followed the lead of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't going to be pushed into making decisions by other people. He knew when the time was right to make certain decisions, and he would follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Everything he did was in purpose. He didn't do anything by mistake. I think I said, was it last week, if you were going to change the world in 3 years so that millions of people followed your message and you only had 3 years to do it, what would you do? Would you do what Jesus did? Would you find yourself dying on a cross for the sins of the world? I think we would probably want to find a different way. And then there's another occasion later on, John chapter 13, verse 1, where it says it was about just before Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time, this time it's that word hour again, had come. His hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. He went to a cross to die for the sins of the world. It's incomprehensible. We would never choose to do things that way. But Jesus knew, and there was a plan and a purpose for his life, and he knew that was the way that he had to go. His hour had come. I wonder, what do you think it felt like for Jesus, knowing that the hour was coming, and it was coming closer? He knew that his time was coming. Have you ever been in that situation where you're waiting on something happening, something big that you're about to do? And you maybe sort of referred to that in a way today, where you've got to come up the front and say something. Who gets nervous when you have to get up front and say things in front of people? I remember the first time I did assemblies. It was in Whitdale Primary School. And I had done talks and I'd done messages. And this was my first time to do assemblies. And there was three of them back to back. And honestly, my knees were knocking together. I remember an occasion when I worked for Crusaders and I had to stand and do a presentation to around 200 Church of Scotland ministers. Boy, was that scary. And honestly, I thought my heart was going to burst. It was beating so hard. And I remember in the moment praying, Lord, please help me to calm down. Please give me strength for this. And I'll never forget the moment when I got up. It was my turn and I was introduced and boom, 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 got up and stood there, turned around and faced this congregation, this audience, and all of a sudden there was a peace just descended. It's like, oh, I can breathe. The heart slowed down. It was just an incredible moment. But we get ourselves built up for that moment when something's going to happen. I don't know how you felt when you came to read today, Real Girl. I don't know if you were nervous, but it's like, oh, now it's my turn, and you're waiting for your turn, and here it comes, and you've got to stand into the center of attention. And here was Jesus. His hour had come. It's what we celebrate at this time of year. His hour had come, the time when he was going to go to that cross. And he had to cross a valley to get there. Let me just think a wee second about the Lord's decision, Jesus' decision, to cross over the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives. That's a picture of the Kidron Valley as it is today. And with his disciples after Passover, made his way across this valley, back up the other side to a garden called Gethsemane, which Aurelia read about this morning, amongst the olive groves. A place where he encouraged those who were closest to him to watch and pray. And he went off for a little bit to pray on his own, and he came back, and what were they all doing? They were all sleeping. And he encouraged them to watch and pray, and he went off again to pray. Lord, and you can almost feel the distress. Is there another way? And it tells us in the Bible that his distress was so great that he began to sweat, and there was blood in his sweat. So distressed, physically. And his decision was to go and to pray this prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In Mark chapter 14, and Aurelia read this for us, returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. The moment had come. The trajectory of his life had been leading to this point where he would stand before people who would accuse him falsely, who were against him, and who would ultimately send him to that cross. Those who, when Pilate said, I'm going to release somebody to you, do you want me to release Jesus? Because it doesn't seem like he's done anything wrong. And they shouted out, crucify him. And he had to face the opposition of sinful men, prophesied by Isaiah hundreds of years earlier. In Isaiah 53, you read the words. And he faced his challenge. He faced his particular mountain. He faced what God had set him to do. I wonder, by comparison, what valley are we facing today? What valley, what challenge are we facing today? And how are we going to approach that? How are we going to respond to the situation that we find ourselves in today? What mountain lies ahead of you today? What circumstances are you in? And you're looking ahead and you think, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't know how I'm going to achieve. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish. And we've already heard from that proverb this morning, in all your ways acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. Whether it's down into the valley, through the valley, or up the other side, he will direct your steps. And there's a verse in Psalm 23, verse 4, and it says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Where is he walking? He's walking through the darkest valley. Sometimes it's the very place, the one place in the world we don't want to be, and that's where we find ourselves. And this is the crux, that in the valley, we need not fear. It's so easy to give way to fear. Whatever we're experiencing, whatever challenge we face, it's so easy to give in to fear. But the Lord calls us to depend on him, to lean in on him, and to receive from him strength. People who are on a journey, people who are on a pilgrimage, to receive strength for today, and bright hope for tomorrow. The crux is we don't need to fear. And this is the turning point. For you are with me. We don't walk alone. I'm sure the Liverpool football team have a song about that. You're never alone. As a Christian, you are never alone. The Lord is with you all the time. And the blessed thing about fellowship is that we come together and there are people around us who can get alongside us and who can pray for us and who can just support us in that moment, who can give us the strength that we need. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He gives us guidance. He is our protection. He is our strength and he is our comfort. But I want to encourage us this morning. If we're in a valley just now, and that's the season that you're in, I want to encourage you that that season will not last. There are challenging times, and we have been through challenging times as a church, but the season will not last. Do you believe that this morning? Are you sure? Do you believe that this morning? The season will not last. The valley will not last forever. Where are the times and places where it's our decision and we pray, even though we're in the valley? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What's your decision, Lord, in this valley where I find myself now? What's your decision? What do you want to show me? What do you want me to learn through this experience? And it's tough learning through the experiences, but we can make decisions as we walk through the valley, as we walk through the challenging times. We can decide to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We can decide to allow him to be our map and compass as we journey on this pilgrimage. He can be our strength. And there's a verse going back into the Old Testament that Joel, we read in the book of Joel. And this is what it says. And we're coming back to this thing that was up on the screen a second ago, the Lord's decision. And this is what Joel 3:14 says. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. It uses that phrase twice, in the valley of decision. This verse is often used by evangelists in their messages, as if the multitudes are making the decision. But actually, what this verse is talking about is the multitudes who are gathered before God in the valley of decision, and it's no longer their decision. It's about the Lord's decision. It's about his decision on how we have lived our lives and how we have responded to the things that he has said. And we're in the valley of decision and we're awaiting the Lord's decision. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. There's a season and a time for us to make decisions. There will come a time where that season will finish and it will no longer be our decision, but it will be the Lord's decision, because he will make a judgment on our lives. He will make a judgment on the nations. We see Jesus' decision in the garden. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And because he was willing to submit to God's will for his life, there will come a day where he will return and he will say, now it's my turn. Now it's my turn to make the decision. I don't know about you, I want to spend my life making the decisions that take me closer into the plans and purposes of God for my life, and to serve God. We used to sing a song in this church many years ago. I want to serve the kingdom of God in my generation, in my time. When I have the opportunity to make decisions, I want to serve God with all my heart, because there'll come a time where it won't be my decisions that matter anymore, but it will be his decision. It will be his judgment. He will have the last word and the final say. Jesus will come back in that day. That will be his day, his time, his period, his season, his hour to come and say, now is my judgment going to be made in this world and the people that live in it. The question is, when we have the opportunity, how will we decide? What will we do with Jesus? We have an opportunity to decide today what we will do with Jesus, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian yet. If you're not a Christian, the decision is, will I give my life to Christ today? Because there'll come a point in time where I will not be able to make that decision. It'll be out of my hands, and it'll be his decision about what happens to me. If we are a Christian, what decisions are we going to make? How will I live my life? I've said this before. Our priorities are reflected in our practices. What we hold to as priorities in our life and our minds will be reflected in our practices, the things that we do, how we spend our time, how we use our resources, how we give of ourselves. Our priorities are reflected in our practices. You can't hide it, and it's there for everybody to see. There'll come a time where the Lord will come back and he'll ask us to give an account, and he will be the one making the decision. Listen to the last little part of what Joel says in this verse. The sun and the moon will be darkened. Does it sound familiar? It's prophetic. It's talking about the end. And the stars no longer shine. And the Lord will roar from Zion. Which creature roars? The lion. Who is Jesus described as being? The lion of the tribe of Judah. And there'll come a time when the lion will roar and his voice will be heard. And this is what it says, that he will thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Psalm 29, verse 3 says this, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. Does that sound like something? Genesis chapter 1. And the God of glory thunders, the Lord thunders over the mighty waters. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, submitting to God's will, submitting to the cruel torture and treatment of other people, dying on a cross. But now the Lion of Judah roars. Now people will see the strength of Jesus, the risen Christ. You see, it's not finished yet. The story's not over yet. And God is going to come back. The Lord Jesus will come back, and he'll come back to look for us. How do we respond to this? I want to encourage us to think about this, how we live our lives. Our priorities are reflected in our practices. Do you remember what Joshua said? Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You need to choose today whom you will serve. Let's bow our heads in prayer just for a little moment. If you've never made a decision to give your life to Jesus, I encourage you to do that. And it's a simple prayer away. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and you can pray this prayer after me into your heart, but tell somebody that you've prayed it afterwards, because it's in that confession and that belief in our heart that we are saved, and that God, on that day when he comes back, will say, I know who you are. You're part of my kingdom. And then I want to pray over this congregation, over every family represented here in the building or online. So let's just pray for a second. Pray this prayer after me if you've never prayed this prayer before, to give your life to Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died on a cross for me. I thank you that he gave his life that I could be free, that my sin could be forgiven, that I could be clean. Forgive me. Come into my life and set me free. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, tell somebody that you've done it. And Father, we just thank you for this time of year where we celebrate Easter, where we think about the suffering Messiah. And Father, we pray that our eyes would be filled with Jesus. Father, that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on him, to keep focused on him, to keep him in view, because you will lead us in the path that you have set for us. You will guide our steps. Father, we can make our own plans. The Bible says this, but it's you that orders our steps. So we want to just follow you in all of our ways. Father, bless us. Bless our homes. Bless us with peace at this time of year. Where there is trouble and things that we're working through, if we're in valleys, if there are situations that we are facing, Father, we ask that you would just be so present in that situation, that you would show us the way through, that you would give us strength, and that you would give us the courage to say, I'm going to keep moving, I'm going to keep journeying, I'm going to stay pilgriming, I'm staying walking the walk and journeying this life. Lord, help us to be strong. Lord, you know each of our hearts, you know each of our needs. Father, those who can't be with us today, Lord, there are people who want to be here today, but they can't because of life circumstances, and it's challenging. We remember Bette and John today. Lord, ask that you would strengthen them in their situation. Father, others who would love to be here that need that strength and comfort from the Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that you would be strength to each one, that you would lead and guide, and Father, that you would just cause us to be strong on the inside. Father, as we face whatever particular valley we're in, Lord, lead us and guide us through it. We know that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. Give us the strength that we need for today and for this week. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Please stay for tea and coffee. And let me just say again, so great to see so many folks with us today visiting, and enjoy fellowship at the end today.